Hello there, keto friends, and welcome to the Protein Priority Keto Podcast. I am your host, nutritionist and obesity survivor, Christina, and I'm here to talk to you all about keto in a way that is hormonally supportive, metabolically protective, and personalized so that you too can achieve your weight loss and your health goals on your ketogenic diet. So let's get into today's episode. So welcome to this week's episode, which is Keto for Beginners. And I love talking about the basics of the ketogenic diet because there's so much misinformation out there about what the perfect macro should look like and what way we should be eating, what way we should be fasting, what's essential, quote unquote, essential, what's not essential. And there's so much misinformation out there. Years and years ago, I created a video called the 10 beginner mistakes on keto. And it's just as relevant today as it was back then when I made it, especially about like the whole getting the fats in. Like I cringe when I see that sentence, like get your fats in, get fats from here and fats from there. And I have some new things to add, new things that I've learned over the years. And I really want to be able to add them to this list. Now, this is not going to be a list of 25 mistakes beginners make on keto. This is basically my advice on how to start a ketogenic diet. And it doesn't have to be as complicated as you think. Like it really doesn't. I see people like really super overcomplicating it. Like beginners who are starting on keto and within the first week they're trying to do intermittent fasting, they're trying to skip meals, and it's like you'll get there, it'll happen naturally where your hunger hormones will go down and you'll naturally start to eat less. So don't try and force it. If you try and force it, it's going to make carb cravings worse and you're just going to end up restarting over and over again. So like right now when I have somebody who wants to start and they've never done it before, sometimes in order to manage the carb cravings, we're eating 4 or 5 times a day. And that goes against like all of the things you've been told about keto, right? But you have to remember that the advice not to eat 5 times a day is really for when you are on a standard Western diet and you have this chronic elevation of insulin and blood glucose, right? You want to be eating 2 times a day or 3 times a day with at least 4 hours between meals because you want to keep your insulin low and you want to keep your blood glucose low. And if you're eating a standard Western diet, you're going to have those 3 big glucose spikes throughout the day. But when we switch to keto, very quickly, that glucose level comes down and it stays lower. So in the first few weeks, if you need to eat 5 times a day in order to stop yourself from going and eating carbs, then you got to go do that, right? It's like you have to, sorry, to hit the desk. You have to weigh up the pros and cons, right? Is it better to force yourself to eat 2-3 times a day and be really, really hungry and be super craving for carbs? And some people, me included, are just not able to resist. And then you find yourself, you have to start again. So you're getting to day 3. Right. And please put your hands up if this is you. You get to day 3, the carb cravings overwhelm you, and you think, you know what, this is just too much hard work. It's not worth it. I'm just going to have something, or I'll just have a little bit to try and get rid of the cravings and then it'll be fine. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose. Over the last 4 or 5 years, it's less than that. It's actually over the last 3 years when keto became super popular. With it came an absolute tsunami of misinformation, dogmatic rules, and really ugly descriptors like dirty keto and lazy keto. And it's like, ugh, it's just awful. And it's mired in toxic diet culture. There are things you are banned from doing, foods that are on the banned list. And like, these are foods like carrots and peas, and it's like, this is madness, right? And it's not fun to try and cut through all of the misinformation because I leave myself way open for online attacks, for verbal insults and all of the rest. And most of the time, unfortunately, you don't leave yourself just open to professional attacks. Like, people will question your qualifications, right? And those of you who are watching this on YouTube can see my qualifications are literally on the wall behind me. And I'm right in the middle of the LCHF. That was easy for me to say. Low carb, high fat in clinical practice course with the Nutrition Network, with Tim Noakes Nutrition Network, right? So every year I am increasing my qualifications. Last year I became qualified. I got a certified diabetes reversal practitioner now. And it's not because of these attacks on my credentials. It's because I want to keep up with the latest science. I want to keep up with the latest education. I want to be able to help more people. And that's why I do it. But the attacks are not about what I'm saying. They're also personal, about what I look like, about what I weigh. And, you know, the thing is that what really changed my mind about what health looks like was actually back at Keto Fest in 2018, where I was just amazed to meet people who had absolutely, completely and utterly transformed their lives and transformed their health using a ketogenic diet as a therapeutic approach. But hardly anybody was like, quote unquote, normal weight. Everybody had, practically everybody had a little bit of weight on them. And we're still working on the whole weight loss part. Now, when you understand human physiology and you understand that it's actually a survival mechanism to have a bit of fat on you, especially if you're a woman. So our bodies don't want to let go of it. So I don't care if you're still like 10 kilos overweight, but your blood work is beautifully balanced. You feel good. You have good energy. You're sleeping well. You're not super hungry. You've not got cravings and you feel good, right? These are the most important health markers, right? I've said it before and I've said it again, and I'll keep saying it until we understand that weight is a red herring. Obesity is a red herring, because you can have somebody who is morbidly obese and you can have them die in their sleep at 99 years of age, like a person who is 65 kilos, exactly the same, right? So obesity is a bit of a red herring from that point of view. It's a comorbidity, meaning that if you've got obesity, you are much more likely to have XYZ, so cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and all of the other things that go with metabolic syndrome. However, if you are obese, you are not 100% guaranteed to have all of those other things, right? So, you know, we need to look at weight as a kind of a potential symptom rather than a sure sign. So I really don't want to defend people's weight into the general, the general population, because it's toxic diet culture. Right? That's what it is. Slim equals healthy. And it's not true, because if it was true, we wouldn't have 25-year-old footballers dropping dead of a heart attack, or 35-year-old marathon runners dropping dead of a heart attack, right? So when that stops, then we can talk about weight. One of the big things I see beginners doing on keto is just following the standard guidelines, right? So, you know, I see so many people offering meal plans, offering, you know, an onboarding meal plan, and people are eating things that are not good for them individually, right? So if I followed, I actually downloaded one the other day just to have a look. And if I followed that meal plan, I would probably be really, really uncomfortable with digestive distress, because it was full of like broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love them. They just don't love me, right? I have to stick with much lower fiber foods. Funnily enough, avocado doesn't bloat me, even though avocado is packed full of fiber. So if I follow a meal plan, may not work for me. I may not even lose any weight, right? So because we've become accustomed to this toxic diet culture, we've become accustomed to following cookie cutter plans. And I know when you're beginning and you're coming on keto, you want to have some sort of guidance, right? what we can do is provide you with a food list, right? It's not comprehensive and it's not exhaustive. And it's also going to have food there that's not going to be good for you, food that is going to make you thrive. But it's up to you in the end to find out what works for you. Another thing that we do is really force fasting, right? And fasting is one of those things that it is extremely beneficial. It is so helpful for not only for weight loss, but for healing as well. It's like supercharging your healing. And like I always say, healing comes first, weight loss comes second, right? But if you are fasting the same way every day, if you are skipping breakfast the same every day, if you are in a super stressful period of your life, maybe it's like quarter end, or, you know, maybe it's tax return time like it is here in Switzerland, you're going to add to that stress by fasting, right? You shouldn't fast when you're in a really stressful period, because you're just exacerbating. And fasting is a stressor, right? So you need to make sure that you're managing your stress if you want to fast, right? So if somebody says in this community, somebody says that weight loss is not working, well, you're not doing it right. You're not fasting enough. You're not cutting calories enough. You're eating too much fat. You know, it's all your fault. It's not, well, give your body some time. Make sure you're taking care of your stress. Are you taking care of your circadian rhythm? Are you eating enough? All of these questions, right? So these are all things that I really want you, if you are a beginner or if you are trying to get back on keto, look at it critically, look at the advice critically and think about, will this help me or will this hinder me, right? Because this question is going to mean the difference between long-term sustainable weight loss or losing the weight in a year, completely tanking your hormones and putting the weight all back on, maybe even more, right? We need to look at the keto diet from a very individual point of view, right? Because it's an extremely powerful way of eating. And the more research that's done and the more studies that are done, the more we see just how wide reaching it is. Like, so the studies that have been coming out over the last couple of months about the efficacy of the ketogenic diet for schizophrenia, which is supposedly a mental health illness, but it's looking more and more like it's a metabolic illness. So this is massive. This has the potential to change everything, right? About how we think about food and nutrition in terms of lifestyle, right? Now, I know that the ketogenic diet has lost popularity over the last year or two, and that's because a lot of people feel that it's unsustainable. And the reason that it's unsustainable is because we're all addicts. We are all carb addicts. And when you go for a certain period of time, not able to have your drug, and you're thinking about it in, well, maybe I can have a little bit here and a little bit there. Well, you're, as long as you keep having a little bit here and a little bit there, you're still feeding the beast and it gets harder and harder. And the more times you come on and off, and you're gaining a bit of weight, the harder it gets to lose that weight until like you're completely stalled, right? So I want you to think about this as a prescription. That's the way I think about it. This is my prescription. As much as I take my levothyroxine every morning, my thyroid medications every single day to take care of my thyroid, I eat keto every day to take care of everything else, right? That's the way I look at it. So by looking at it as a prescription, just makes that mindset shift a lot easier, right? So basically, ketogenic diet is shifting your body from burning glucose to burning fat. That's it. And the way we do that is by reducing the amount of sugar that we give our body, the amount of glucose that we give our body, and it switches to burning fat, which is it's metabolized into ketones, and we burn ketones. The two main ketones are acetoacetate and beta hydroxybutyrate. Now, the acetoacetate, when it's metabolized, you breathe it out as acetone, and that's why you can sometimes have that funky breath. It's nothing more than a metabolite. It's just a process of metabolism. It just means that you're burning fat. So typically to get into ketosis, you need to drop your carbohydrate level. But we have this general rule, 20 grams of carbs. That's it, right? 20 grams of carbs. Now, My personal threshold is about 20, 25 grams of carbs. Anything more than that, I'm out of ketosis. How do I know? Because I've got my Keto Mojo ketone and glucose monitor, and I check regularly because I needed to understand how much I could eat. For some people, and I've found it in my own clinical practice, some people can eat 70 grams of carbs and still be in ketosis. There's no surefire number for everybody. The reason that we recommend 20 grams of carbs is because for the vast, vast, vast majority of people, that's enough to get you into ketosis. However, you might be one of the unlucky ones who needs to go to 15 grams or even 10 grams in order to get into ketosis. So it's kind of like the most reliable number to pick is 20 grams. But once you are fat adapted, meaning once that your body has switched over from burning carbs to burning fat, you can play around with that number. You should play around with that number. And you should see what your threshold is, because it means you can eat more. You have more variety in terms of the kind of carbohydrates that you can eat. So in my keto bootcamp, we have a list of vegetables that you can eat without counting them towards your 20 grams of carbs, right? And these are mainly vegetables that grow above ground. And the reason for that is that metabolically, those vegetables don't trigger the release of insulin. They don't spike your blood glucose. There's very little calories in them. There's maybe a little bit of nutrition in them, but okay, because of all the fiber, it's not very bioavailable. Right. So, I mean, it's like a handful of zucchini never made anybody fat, right? It really didn't. But again, this is not a hard and fast rule, right? So there are people who are so sensitive because maybe you're type 2 diabetic, maybe you have really bad blood glucose control. And actually that handful of zucchini actually does trigger a release of insulin. Then you can't do it like that. But again, it's not a hard and fast rule, right? So standard Western diet is around 300 grams of carbs a day, which is obviously super high, and nobody's going to be in ketosis at 300 grams a day. So 20 grams is our kind of like our rule of thumb for the vast majority of people to get into ketosis. But when you reduce that carbohydrate amount, you need to substitute it with fat, right? And it needs to be a mixture of fat from your diet and fat from your body, right? And this is one of the big things that people miss, is that 70 to 75% of your daily calories needed is not 70 to 75% of the daily calories you eat, right? It needs to be a mix, because if you eat enough, why is your body going to use what you have stored? It won't. The key about getting that balance right is, again, it's completely individual. You need to just start eating keto and then adjust your fat levels up and down to see where the right number is. Now, my keto program is called Protein Priority Keto, right? Protein priority diet. It's not high protein, but we prioritize protein. We have a protein goal and we do our best to get to that protein goal every single day. Why? Because protein is the most important macronutrient. Like, your body will literally allow you to overeat calories and allow you to overeat sugar and fat in order to get that minimum protein. If you've ever experienced protein hunger, I know a lot of vegetarians have this protein hunger where they're really hungry for umami flavors. That happens when you go below the kind of standard protein macro goal, right? So we work at 1 gram to 1.5 grams per kilogram of ideal body weight. Now, this ideal body weight, like I always say, is not a goal that you should be trying to get to. My ideal body weight is 62 kilos. I can tell you now, there's no way that I would be able to get to 62 kilos. And I wouldn't even want to try. But that we only use that to work out what our protein, what the ratio of protein macronutrients should be. So my formula, my trademarked keto formula is prioritize protein, control your carbs, fat from food, right? Because that's what we're going to be eating. The important thing is that you remember that it should be a mix of body fat and a mix of dietary fat. So when you start to lose weight, when you start to lose fat, the amount of fat that you need to eat has to increase. Now, if you are out there and you have lost weight on keto and as you lost weight, you started to increase the amount of fat that you have eaten, please let me know, because I can guarantee you for the vast majority of us, what happened was we were losing weight. And it started to slow down, or maybe even stopped for many of us. What did you do? Did you start eating more? No, you didn't. You cut back even more. I did it myself. And it is counterintuitive, but it's actually the opposite of what we need to do, because we need to continue to make our body feel safe that we're not in starvation mode. Because remember that ketosis mimics starvation. So we need to make sure that we keep ourselves well fed. So by eating more, your body's still going to use the whatever body fat, spare body fat it has, because you're still in a slight calorie deficit. But your body feels safe enough because you're actually starting to eat more. So it means it's not starvation, right? We're not in a starvation situation. For a beginner, you just gotta start. Keep your carbs at 20 grams as a rule of thumb. It's guaranteed for the vast majority of people to get you into ketosis. Prioritize protein. Make sure you're having fat and protein with every meal and a little bit of carbs. And then like fat from your food. Like, so just add a little bit of butter to your vegetables or add a little bit of olive oil. But don't go crazy, right? Don't be chugging bulletproof coffees. Bulletproof coffee is great, by the way. I don't want anybody to think there's something wrong with it, but it's a maintenance drink. It's a maintenance food because you're just adding fat, pure fat calories, right? Well, no such thing as a pure fat, right? But anyway, and by that, I mean a pure saturated fat, not a pure fat, it's pure saturated fat. So you got a mix of protein, unsaturated fat, saturated fat. Anyway, that's an aside. So keto for beginners means just get going. Don't worry about the minutiae. Don't worry about all of the adjustments that you can make or all of the refinements that you can make, because that will come with time. When I started ketogenic diet 7 years ago, there was very little information out there, like really very little. There was like a small corner of the internet called Ketogenic Forum that was started by two keto dudes. And there was probably like 200 of us all trying to figure this out for ourselves, all experimenting on ourselves, all sharing what we had learned, people experimenting on themselves. And we kind of came up with a way of doing keto that actually worked really well for the majority of people. But then when keto exploded in popularity, as I said, with it came this toxic diet culture approach of go harder, go faster, go deeper, eat less, move more, fast more, all of it. So it became really difficult for a lot of people, because all of a sudden there's this really stringent set of rules, really strict guidelines, and people getting thrown out of Facebook groups for talking about carrots and peas and not looking at anybody in particular. That wasn't me. The important thing about starting keto as a beginner is to start burning fat. And the way you do that is by reducing your carbs and then replacing those carbs with fat and protein. That's it. That's all you need to know to get started. Stick with carbs that are like mainly whole foods, right? So vegetables, low carb vegetables that grow above the ground is an easy rule of thumb, with the exception of peas, because they have a lot of starch in them. So they are a lot more carby. I think they're like 17 or 18 grams per 100 grams or something like that, something like white potatoes, meat and poultry, fish and seafood, bit of dairy, healthy fats. So no seed oils. And some nuts and seeds. That's all you need to do to get started, right? That's really all you need to do. Keep your carbs under strict control, right? Control those carbs. Keep them really strict. And just track because if you don't know, you don't know, right? If you're trying to get into ketosis, you do not know. I can tell you now that if you're not tracking, you are not eating 20 grams of carbs. Like, unless you're eating carnivore, it's practically impossible. Like, even some days I'm like, I look at my fitness pal and I'm like, man, how did I end up with like 28 grams of carbs? And it's like, it creeps up so quickly. So I'm going to share it to you now quickly before we finish. The top five mistakes that I think a lot of beginners make on keto, and what to do to avoid making these mistakes. And of course, the first one is not tracking carbohydrate intake. In the beginning, the fat and protein are kind of you could get to that later. Like I said, you don't have to get it perfect at first. All those refinements can come later. The most important thing to get into ketosis is to reduce your carbohydrates. And the only way you know that you're doing that for sure is by tracking. So track your carbs. Forget about fat and protein. If you feel overwhelmed at the beginning, forget about the fat and protein. Forget about the fat and protein macros, the goals. Forget about them. Concentrate on the carbs, track the carbs, and then just eat fat and protein until you're full. And then everything else can come later. Not getting enough electrolytes is, I think, more and more now people understand the importance of electrolytes, because basically ketogenic diet is diuretic, meaning that it makes you reduce the amount of fluid you have in your body. And fluid in the fat cells and in the tissues is where we store electrolytes. And when we lose that water, we lose the ability to store all of the electrolytes we need. Now, if you're eating kind of a more generous ketogenic diet, you may not need so much, but definitely at the start, you're going to really need those electrolytes. And then as you transition into kind of like more long-term keto, when everything starts to stabilize, you're probably getting enough potassium if you're eating avocados and other foods like that. You're probably getting enough magnesium if you are eating meat and vegetables, and same with potassium. And then you're adding sodium, you're adding salt to your food, right? So after a while, you might not need as much, but I still have them every single day. I use a mixture of Perfect Keto electrolytes and Element electrolytes, and I'll leave links to both of those in the show notes and in the description on YouTube. Eating too much fiber is number three. And ketogenic diet is just superb for anybody who has gut health issues, for IBD, IBS, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, even kind of just general bloating, because you can cut out the majority of the vegetables and still eat an extremely nutritious diet that's super satisfying and full of healthy protein and fat. Studies have shown over and over and over again that the less fiber people eat who have these issues, the better their gut health is, right? So if you are going from a standard Western diet, it's really low in fiber, really low in fiber. So if you switch immediately to the ketogenic diet and you're eating all these above ground vegetables, you might have issues with that fiber. So if you want to eat more vegetables, increase it slowly and make sure you're taking plenty of magnesium. Number four is not eating enough healthy fats. We are such fat phobics because, like, good sheep, we all were told to go low fat, and we did. And then we were really scared with all the propaganda about heart and coronary artery disease. We were all scared away from fats. But the type of fats as well is a huge thing. So the kind of fats that you should be eating is like avocados and butter and ghee, lard, no seed oils, right? No seed oils. Just avoid all seed oils or any product that has seed oils with them. And actually, even now, I find it hard to avoid sometimes, because like when you go out to eat at a restaurant, or even if you go out to eat with friends, you can find a lot of stuff that's cooked in seed oils, and there's nothing really you can do to avoid it. And yesterday, I noticed for the first time when I was cooking, we use onion and garlic a lot. So we usually buy the pre-chopped onion and garlic. And I only noticed yesterday that they have bloody rapeseed oil in them, which is canola oil. For some of you, I couldn't believe it. And I sent a photograph to my husband. I was like, oh, I cannot believe that there is this oil in it. And he was like, why is it not just chopped garlic? Why is it not just chopped onion? I mean, seriously, why? So be cautious and read all the labels. And the last one, number five, is not staying hydrated enough. Now, I am the worst culprit for this because even though I do take my electrolytes, I drink coffee and tea throughout the day and tend to think at the end of the day, yeah, I drank a lot, but actually they're both diuretic, meaning they make your body excrete more water, and I don't replace it with actual water, which is what I should be doing. And it's just, yeah, don't make my mistake. Make sure you stay hydrated. So the ketogenic diet, like I said, is just so incredibly powerful for healing. It can offer such a wide range of benefits from health and reversing disease. I mean, I've seen so much in my own practice and through colleagues telling me things that have happened to them and people sharing their own stories of weight loss. But not only that, but like improved sugar control, reversal of type 2 diabetes, reduced inflammation, better cancer outcomes, just a mind-blowing array. And I think the ketogenic diet is the future. I know that people are saying that it's losing popularity, but I actually think that the more research that's done, the more it's showing that a low carbohydrate diet is what our ancestors ate. And it's what is going to make us all healthy once again. So that's it for today. Thank you all for joining me. And I'll see you back here next week for another round of the Protein Priority Diet Keto Podcast.